Well, with that being said today, here's the science experiment that I'm just going to talk about. It seems kind of lackluster, but that's okay. If you would put that first slide on the screen for me today, how many of you have ever seen oil mixed in with water? You ever seen that? If you're right, so you guys say, oh yeah, I've done that before, or see it, however, right? So yeah, just don't try to mix those. Just don't put water in with hot oil, because that just doesn't go well, okay? So don't try that way. But if you have just normal, you're putting the oil in with the water, that do you remember noticing that when you did that, how the water, you know, as the oil came into the water, how the oil just seemed to kind of move sort of all around it. And the oil doesn't stop being oil, right? It just kind of embraces the water that it's in, and it moves all around it. And the two just sort of kind of coexist in that same space, right? But the oil doesn't become the water, and, you know, the water doesn't become the oil. They just stay distinct in and of themselves, and they just kind of exist, and they move around. You can watch the glob of oil, you know, it's kind of moving around, and I don't know, it's pretty cool. As I was thinking about this for today, that took me to John 17, verses 15 through 17, and I want to read that this morning. If you have a Bible, you want to get that out. If you've got your phone, or if you've got a Bible handy, feel free to go there. As I go to John 17, so when you go to John 17, if not right now at some point, you'll notice that this is part of a prayer that Jesus is praying for the disciples. So he's praying to the Father. And I want to take a few words out of this prayer to share with us today. And I want to start at, I think I want to start at verse 15. Let's see here. No, let me start at verse 14, and we're going to go through 17. You ready? Here we go. Listen, here's how John records Jesus' prayer. Jesus prayed, he says to the Father, he says, I have given them, talking about the disciples, your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. The Lord bless the reading of his word today for his glory. Awesome. So, all right, as you heard in the beginning, I'll just remind you, I want to talk a little bit today about being in the world, but not being of the world. And start off by saying, why is that important? Why should it matter that we would live in the world, that we be in the world, but not be of the world? We'd not be just like the rest of the world around us. And for me, I think I have to sort of anchor that in the gospel as Jesus taught, that you and I, as his followers, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, Jesus has said that he wants us to be the light in the darkness. That he wants us to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be like a city on a hill, if you will, that people look to and notice it's not like the rest of the city, okay? That's what he wants for us. And that idea is not just new to Jesus. In fact, it goes way back to the beginning, and you can find it in Deuteronomy and even earlier than that. But the concept for God's people was that when you are in the world, I want people to learn about who I am as God through you. So you have got to be distinct from the rest of the world, because if you're just like the rest of the world, then the world's not going to learn that I'm different than the worldly sort of ways and from the false gods that they're worshiping for all this reason and that reason and this reason over here. And no. I'm the one true God, and my ways are not like the world's ways. As the world has experienced. And so I need you to be different so that they'll know. So for example, like when you're walking down the road with your kids, I want you to talk about the word. I want you to talk about my law. I want you to talk about my covenant. I want you, because they're not going to learn unless you teach them. So you've got to teach them. Moms and dads need to teach their children about God and his word. It goes back to the very beginning. Church helps that, but its roots are really in a family of faith. Well, he said also when, you know, hey, look, when you go to the store, because they would have to go to market to get stuff they needed pretty frequently. And when you go and let's say you're in the market and you're in and some this is not exactly in the one of the examples that the Bible gives, but it fits. When you go to a store and somebody grabs the one thing that you came to get and they don't have any more and you got to go without it now, and that's really the main reason you went to the store. Like, don't get, does that resonate? Okay. Woo, I was not sure if it would, but I'm so glad it does. Be kind to that person. Don't think evil of them. Don't wish leprosy or something on them because they really inconvenienced you. Don't do that. And when you're checking out with your groceries and you're three people deep in that line and everybody's got full carts and this person has an issue and they have to get somebody to come and help, but there's no helpers around, and so everybody's stuck waiting in line for that person to get help. Now, if that ever happens, don't get offended. Be patient. I don't know if that ever happened to them, but that's happened to me before. You just love it when that light goes off, right? You just feel like, probably not y'all, but that happens to me every once in a while. If I go, and I don't go a whole lot. Usually Leslie does most of our shopping, but it seems like whenever I go, like that tends to happen. I don't know how that is. I don't know how that works out that way, but it is what it is. And hey, if somebody, you know, talks about you in a way that offends you, don't talk about them behind their back. Don't say something that's not the same kindness that you would say to their face. Love your people who offend you. Well, don't worry. We'll talk more about that in a little bit later. So, hey, the idea for them was simply that, look, wherever you go and whoever you're interacting with and whatever situation you may find yourself in, the idea for you as a person that worships God, as a follower of the Lord, Jesus praying for them in this prayer that they would stay united together as the people of God, even though they might be pulled in different directions and they're being stressed and strained in their faith and being devoted to God when people around them don't really want to have anything to do with God. But I want you tonight together, and I want you to be distinctive. I want you to be distinctively different than the world that is all around you. And even though you may find yourself being tempted with selfishness or pride or greed or lust or envy or hatred or something, worshiping a false god, putting your hope and trust in something other than the Lord, maybe even later, like distrusting Jesus, rebuke all of that. Keep it at an arm's distance. Recognize it for what it is and say, no, not today. No. This is not of the Lord. I need to be distinctively different. And that's what essence of really Jesus prays. Like, I want you, disciples, I want you to remain distinctively different from the world that you're going to be trying to share me with. In other words, if you're thinking about like the oil in the water, here you go. So it would be like him saying, okay, here's the deal. I want you to be the oil that's mixing in with the water and it's not losing its distinctive properties in the water. Make sense? Cool. Very good. Okay, so for the Fusion students that are here today, you guys are going to, this is going to sound kind of familiar to you. For the rest of us, I'll just give you kind of an update. So last Sunday, I was spending some time teaching, hanging out, having a great time with our junior high and high school students, our Fusion group, we call them. And so when we were together in our time in the Word, we were talking about this thing of saying, look, you know, like our faith should intersect what we say and what we do. And I don't know if you guys can remind me, like somehow we got talking about TikTok. don't know, when you're high school students, it doesn't take much. And we like went there. And so there is there's a current TikTok called Devious Lick. And if you've heard of this, and it, so basically what it is, if you haven't, is these short little videos or clips of students who are vandalizing, destroying bathrooms in schools. So ripping stuff off the wall and just trashing the bathroom and just the, bad. And so, but that's become part of pop culture in a sense, like it's become so popular. And then a lot of students are not even thinking about the rightness of what they're doing. They just want to do something that's popular. And so they're doing it. And again, I think about the rightness of what they're doing. So we were reminded, hey, you know, like our faith needs to intersect what we say and what we do. But then we are on the other end of the spectrum. And then if you guys remember, we saw this video, this high school student that played soccer. And she was talking to one of her friends, and her friend was really struggling. And she said, I'm listening. And I just had this like voice in me says, pray with her. She was like, why would I want to do that? No. Like, and she's listening, and the voice, you need to pray with her. She's like, come on, I don't know. But like, no, you need to pray with her, you know. Like, it just wouldn't, like, just keeps this prompt in her head. And so she finally stopped, and she said, hey, can I pray with you? And her friend was like, huh? What? Like, that was not a familiar action for her friend to experience. And she's like, I just feel like, can I just pray for you right now? And so she does, and her friend was like, that was so good. Thank you. Like, those are words that I know I needed to hear right now. And that young high school student took an opportunity to share God's love and her concern for her friend. And I loved hearing that. And so we took both of those, and we used both ends of it, those spectrum, right? Those illustrations. And it's like, hey, you know, like our faith needs to intersect what we say and what we do. It doesn't matter how old we are, we need to do that. So we talked a little bit more about that, and I won't get into all of that, but it kind of got me to thinking about here for today to think, okay, well, I know it's like we want our kids to be like that, but the Bible says, you know, even as adults, we too need to be doing that. And so what practical things can I then take and share this morning that may build on that for us? Whether we're retired or working, or it doesn't matter, what can we do? And so the preacher and me just like went crazy, and they both start with the letter E. And so if you've been in church for a while, then you'd know, oh, that sounds about right. You know, it's like you're going to make it all start with the same letter. So we're going to do that. But I'm just going to give you two things, super simple. And one is the first one is this, if you put that up, is to embrace the truth. Embrace the truth. And I said, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, let me go back to the oil and the water for a second. It's interesting to me, I'm not a scientist at all, and I'm not even going to bore you with science stuff either on this. But the simple thing when I look at that, if I had oil in a cup and I had water in a bowl, let's say for example, you could look at those two, and if you have ever used either one of both of those, right, then you would know that the oil is not made to be water, right? Is not. It serves a different purpose. It does different things, right? It has different properties to it. Like the two are just distinctively different from each other. And they never stop being unique to what they are. You know, when any person becomes a follower of Jesus, they are reborn into God's kingdom. Now, you're still a citizen of whatever land you're from, right? But you are reborn, we say, spiritually into God's kingdom. So you kind of like have a dual citizenship. You know, you get to, you're a citizen here, but you're also a citizen of the kingdom. And so because of that, we have to recognize that there are two kingdoms, but they're not equal with each other. That the kingdom of God takes priority in our lives over the kingdom, if you will, of the world, where the scripture says that the evil one is prince, if you will, sort of has great influence in the world itself right here. So worldliness, some of the things I've mentioned earlier, selfishness, pride, greed, lust, envy, that's all I'm going to dance, no more than that. When I say embrace the truth, it's partly saying there's a point where you just have to embrace the truth that God's kingdom has got to take priority in my life. Like it won't unless I choose it. Like, I have to make that choice by faith to say what God wants for my life is going to take priority over what the world may want for my life or want me to do with my life or how the world may want me to use my life. Like, I'm going to stick with what God wants. Like, that's where my focus is at. Because what I recognize is that God's values and his morals, his ethics, that those are not exactly like the world's. So I need his to take priority. It's not going to happen unless, as a follower of Jesus, we say, no, I'm going to be in the world, but I'm not going to be of the world's values and the world's sense of morals and the world's sense of redefining what is ethically right and wrong. I won't even get into that. I don't have time for that today. But I'm going to settle in with God's. I'm going to hold on to it. The world seems to glorify pride. But the scripture says, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. The scripture says that pride comes before a fall. So the world may glorify one thing, but the word of God glorifies the opposite of that. So therefore, if I'm embracing the truth, then I'm going to choose to embrace God's value that says I need to embrace humility and to not be prideful or boastful about myself and my abilities, but I need to humbly submit to the Lord and to the works that he is doing in me and that he is doing through me. I'm just like, I want to redirect, right? That's in essence what we're talking about. So it's better to give than to receive. The world says, gimme, 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 right? Greed, 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 right? The world like sort of elevates, glorifies greed. Get all you can, get all you can, get all you can. But yet the scripture says it's better to give than it is to receive. The things that I have, that I'm a steward of those things. It's my job to manage them well. And so I may have much, but with much is great responsibility to steward it well for the glory of God. It's not a problem if you have a lot. God's blessed you with a lot. So use a lot to glorify him. Manage it well. Bless people with it, right? Absolutely. Okay, so if I'm embracing the truth, then let's get super practical. Do you ever pray? Yeah, I'm hoping, right? So yeah, it's like, well, that's so simple. Like, why does he want an answer from this question? What is he talking about? Of course I pray like every day, right? Yeah, absolutely. So I was thinking, if we're going to embrace the truth, one of the easy ways that of truth that we can embrace is praying the Lord's Prayer all the time. If you think about the Lord's Prayer, I'm not going to recite the entire prayer, but if you read the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, you read simple truth statements that is prayed about really who God is and what God has the ability to do, what his desires are. That's a truthful, powerful prayer that's fairly short that you and I can pray all the time. Now, granted, Jesus said, you know, when you pray, like this is a model prayer. You ought to pray the Lord's Prayer. Well, you know, be obedient. But think about what you're saying when you pray the Lord's Prayer. And I would suggest, too, have verses of scripture that you memorize. Simple ones that you can easily memorize that you can use in prayer. Can I give you an example? So when I started at my first church, I went through a discipleship program called Timothy 2. And so in that program, part of it was memorizing scripture verses. And we would be held accountable with your partner who was mentoring you through that process. And in doing that, there was a particular verse in 1 Corinthians that I had never remembered reading. That's saying a whole lot about me, isn't it? But anyways, I fell in love with it. Because in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it tells us that we all are tempted, but God provides a way out so that we can stand up under the temptation and not give in to it. The Lord knows that we are tempted to sin, but the Lord doesn't want us to choose rebelliousness against him and his way. He wants us to choose surrender and humility and obedience, that we might glorify God through our thoughts and our words and our actions. And so the Holy Spirit provides a way out so that we don't have to give in to that temptation. And Paul writes that in 1 Corinthians. And so that was kind of one of the verses. And I loved it Because what a powerful way to pray when you're being tempted to sin, to use scripture and to pray and say, Lord, you say that you provide a way out so I can stand up under this, but it's so hard. I'm being tempted so deeply. I don't know that I can't, but Lord, you say. And I believe that what you say is true. And you will enable me to stand up under it. Embrace the truth of scripture as you pray. Don't worry, we're going to keep getting harder and harder. It's all good, though. So here's another one. Just embrace your identity in Christ and own it in public. Sometimes it's comfortable to own it on a Sunday morning, but not on a Monday morning. But embrace it and own it. You're a Jesus follower when you're in the world and when you're at home or in the church or you're out to eat or play in sports, whatever you're doing. You're still a follower of Jesus no matter where you go. And as such, people are not always going to agree with the way you see the world. And you just have to be okay with that. Like, you're not going to be super popular as a devoted follower of Jesus. You will not. Jesus said, look, if they persecuted me because I was devoted to the Father and to his word and his way, and you're devoted to me, I'm telling you, you're going to experience what I experienced in the world because the world is against the Father's ways. So you just got to know going into it that, hey, this is the way it's going to be. It's not always going to be a walk in the park. And sometimes it's going to be stressful. And I'm going to wonder, am I really cut out for this? Do I really want this extra stress in my life? Do I need to stand out and different? Yeah. Because you and I are called to be in the world, but not of the world. And Jesus prayed for us to be able to be in it and not be of it, that God would help us, and he helps us. All right. Embrace the truth. And here's a second one. I told you it starts with an E. I couldn't resist. It's engage the world. Engage the world. If you guys know me well enough, you know that I tend to like things to be kind of neat and in their place. And that's just kind of my tendencies at times, right? And so I was thinking about this and I thought it's a lot neater and just neater if you have the oil in one container and you have the water in a different one and you just don't mix them. I'm like, that just is neater. Yeah. So they're like, I ain't going to that church. That guy needs a counselor. Probably so, but that's another story for another day. I thought if you have them separate, then they're neater that way. But then I stopped. I thought about that. I thought, yeah, but it's not really until you pour the oil into the water that you get to see how the oil actually behaves differently than the water does. When you keep them separate, you don't get to see the difference. It's right. It's not until you pour it in there, until they kind of mix together. And when they mix, then you see, oh, wait a minute, these are not the same thing. Like, they're distinctively different. They don't become the same and all mixed together. No, you can tell the difference. It'll kind of all glob, move around, then they'll sort of separate, right? And then depending on the heaviness of it, begin to drop a little bit maybe, but depending on what's in it. But they're just distinctively different. The oil engages the water, but still remains true to its form. I thought, oh man, that'll preach. Gosh, I got to use that. So I thought, as Christians, we're supposed to help people learn to trust and follow Jesus. But the world doesn't know what that looks like. Because the unspiritual don't understand spiritual things, the Bible says. So it's the responsibility of the people of God to live as the people of God out in the world so that the world learns who God is and what he's like and his characters and his values, his morals, his ethics, right? That's why I started there in the beginning, because that's always been the idea. And this is what Christ is praying for disciples, that they'll keep being just like that in the world, but not of the world. And then this morning, as I was finishing up, it just kind of hit me. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, John says, whoever claims to live in him, talking about Christ, must walk as Jesus did. I thought, all right, I hear you, Lord. So let's get super practical with it again. All right. Do you ever experience someone who is rude to you? And when that happens, it just like makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And you're like, meow. Yeah, by your laughing, it's either at me or with me, I don't know. But I'm okay with either one. That sense of you're ready to be rude back to them. How dare you act this way to me? Bring it. Okay, I've been there. Apparently you have too. And the world tends to glorify rudeness. If you watch it in movies and stories and books, the world tends to glorify that and at times even make it humorous. But the people of God are to choose love, choose to lift up love instead of lifting up rudeness. And so if you think of being in the world but not being of the world, as you engage the world, I would say that we engage it when we, in reply, offer a kind and grateful word to a rude person. You say, but that's no fun. Well, maybe, but we're to be in the world, not be of the world. Anybody ever make a mistake that impacts you in a negative way? You ever go out to dinner and you order something and they give you the wrong thing for your dinner? Right? So you're at work, somebody's working on a project with you and they do the wrong thing and it throws the project back, or you're at home and you expected your spouse is going to do one thing and they did something different and that impacted you and it frustrated you, whatever. You ever had a time where you just get impacted in a negative way, you know? For me, the temptation has been to, well, let me show you how right I am and wrong you are. I never do that at home, but sometimes I've done that. And I would say to us that instead of doing that, that it would, instead of belittling someone, we should choose to bless them and encourage them, even when they inconvenience us. They impact us in a negative way. They hurt us. They offend us. Bless them. Encourage them. And I would say do that, remembering this. You are a sinner saved by grace. Amen. Okay, great. So you are a sinner saved by grace. The person that has offended you, has been rude to you, who has impacted you in a negative way, they too are a sinner. And they may or may not know Jesus, but it is by his grace that they will be saved. And there has, I'm sure, been a time or two where you have done or said something to somebody else that impacted them in a negative way. So we've all fallen short of that perfect ideal. So when somebody misses the mark, as you have missed the mark, consider being patient and remembering the truth that we all make mistakes. And I will do more for the message of that cross of Jesus Christ by blessing and encouraging and being kind than I will ever do by belittling and being rude and being boastful and being greedy in a moment. Be in the world, but not of the world. How many of you go places, and when you do, you notice that there are signs everywhere that says, we're hiring, right? Like, don't even get me started on that one, right? Okay. And when you go into that establishment, maybe you have noticed there have been a time or two where you didn't get service as quickly as you had before. And you couldn't find somebody to help you as quickly as you had before. That gets a little frustrating. Just being honest, right? Because the expectation is that I'm going to get helped or whatever. Okay, service with a smile kind of thing, you know, right? And so my thought is, well, you guys probably experienced some of that too. And so it's easy to let our impatience get the best of us and to say something because our expectation wasn't met in this establishment, and you're here to provide a good or a service for me, and I'm supposed to have a good experience while I'm here. Well, I can tell you so far, it ain't been that good kind of thing, right? And so what if instead of that response, we came back with, how are you doing today? In back of my head, I'm choosing not to give in to my, but I'm saying, you know what? I'm in the world, but not of the world. So I want them to know that I appreciate them, that they are appreciated in this moment, because odds are they are overworked and tired and stressed, and they don't feel that they are appreciated very much, because odds are a lot of people are not expressing that appreciation very well. They're just frustrated. We have to be in the world, but not of it. So it's our responsibility to show appreciation for the folks who are out there, right? And so, how are you doing? How's your day today? How are you holding up? Because, man, I bet you guys are probably really overworked and understaffed, if you're like a lot of places I see. I did that one day. I was at a donut shop. I like donuts. And I just took them. I'm not boasting. I was just like, I saw the reality of this. Like it really works. Just to ask somebody, how are you doing? Like, how's your day so far? And the look on the person's face was like the moment saw their humanity. They no longer are just a face in a transaction, but they're a human being in a moment with you. God loves them as a human being made in his image. And it's powerful if you and I break the transaction kind of like relationship and see a person as a human being standing right in front of us. You go, I don't know what to say. I don't know. How are you today? Well, that's what they should be saying to me. Beat them to the punch. Or if they say, how are you today? I'm holding up. How are you today? Just show that you care about them in that moment. That's a powerful moment. And when you're with somebody, different type point here, but instead of just promising to pray with somebody, pray with them right then. Now, if you're in the grocery store and you're three carts deep, you know, behind you and you're right there, that may not be the moment. Take a 5-minute hiatus to go talk to somebody and then come back. You know, like you got to work out the when and the where. Like, I totally get that. But how many of us would confess, don't raise your hand, would confess that we have promised to pray for somebody, but we never did it? We saw it was a genuine need that we ought to pray for them. So I'm going to pray for you. I will pray for you. And then we left and we totally forgot. I've been there, done that more than once, or twice, three times. So if we engage the person in prayer right then, the kindness of saying, this moment in your life matters, and I want to take my life and push pause because I want to engage you in your life right now. I want you to know I care about you. Engage people with faith by engaging their problems with prayer. And the last one I give you is this. Don't be afraid to speak the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid to speak the name of Jesus. People don't want to hear me say Jesus. They don't agree with that. That's okay. That's totally okay. Don't be afraid. Engage the world. Speak the name of Jesus out in the world. And let the chips fall where they may. For it is not the world who will save the world. It is Jesus who can save the world. And he is a man who is also fully God. And he lived out a course of history that went to the cross to die for the sins of humanity. And he was risen from the dead so that through his resurrection, we have victory over death. We have forgiveness and we have eternal life. We have hope. But they see that hope that the world can know is connected to an historical event in history. So that story's got to be told. And you have to speak the name of Jesus in the story. It can't be, well, there's a guy, right, who went to a cross. And I don't know if you know that guy. It's like, Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Speak the name. Talk about how your relationship with Jesus has been impacted in positive ways. The world is a sad place right now, if you've watched the news lately or just went outdoors. It's a sad place. The world needs good news. The world needs good news right now. They need to know that God is still working for good in people's lives. Like, he hasn't taken a hiatus and went to like vacation. And that's why we have, you know, the virus. Like, no, he's still working and people are being saved and people are being healed and people are being made whole and restored and marriages are finding restoration and people at work are finding that what they thought was a dead end got opened up to a new door and people are just realizing that I had written this person off, but you know what? It's really because I never took the time to just love them in the name of Jesus. And when I did, I began to find that, you know, they're a human being like myself, and they're having a hard go at it in life, and that's why they've been this way. Wow, I never knew that until I actually took the time to engage the person. There's a lot of people struggling in life, and they knew that God loved them because Jesus walked up to them in their mess. He met them there. And he showed that he valued them. They had worth. But if Jesus doesn't walk up to them, odds are they probably don't hear that because they were marginalized in their society. Be in the world, but not of the world. Embrace the truth. Engage the world around us. Let us not hide in the shadows. Let us not. Let us step out. May we walk in the light as he is in the light. May we love those that are hard to love. May we speak a word of peace when that's maybe not what we're feeling inside. May we listen to others who are wrestling in life. May we listen to understand where they're coming from and what they're going through. May we know that just because we know that salvation is the answer, that we don't have the answer to all of life's issues and problems. We don't. But we know that Jesus is the hope of the world. And even if we can't solve the world's problems, we know that Jesus has solved the problem of sin and death. And in him we have hope. So let's talk about him. Inform conversations. Be willing to pray. Be kind. Love the hard to love. Let us be a holy oil in the midst of water. Always true to Christ and sharing God's love so that as many people as possible will learn to trust and follow Jesus in the world, just like we are learning to do every day. Let us pray. Father, I'm not Jesus, but I'll take his words of prayer and use those as I pray for your church, your sons and your daughters in Christ, that we would unite together, find strength in Christian community, being the body of Christ, and that we would also embrace the truth of who you are and who we are in you and this calling you've given us, that we would pray that way and live and speak that way, and that we would engage the world around us in the ways that you have taught us are right and good, that will point people to the goodness of a good God, as we've already sang today, how fitting a song, and that people would be drawn to you. Lord, use our lives to draw people to salvation and to eternal life. I ask this prayer in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.